scripture reading today comes from the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 10 to 15. That day, David fled from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. But the servants of Achish said to him, "Isn't this David, the king of the land? Isn't he the one they sing about in their dances? Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, king of Gath. So he pretended to be insane in their presence, and while he was in their hands, he acted like a madman, making marks on the doors of the gate and letting saliva run down his beard. Achish said to his servants, 'Look at that man, he is insane. Why bring him to me? Am I so short of madmen that you have to bring this fellow here to carry on like this in front of me? Must this man come into my house?'" And our second reading comes from in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to start with verse 16 and go to verse 30. This is Paul speaking. "I repeat, let no one take me for a fool. But if you do, then receive me just as you would a fool, so that I may do a little boasting. In this self-confident boasting, I am not talking as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many are boasting in the way the world does, I too will boast. You gladly put up with the fool since you are so wise. In fact, you even put up with anyone who enslaves you or exploits you or takes advantage of you, or pushes himself forward, or slaps you in the face. To my shame, I admit that we were too weak for that. What anyone else dares to boast about, I am speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. Amen and amen."
And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my strength and my redeemer. In the bulletin this week, I mentioned 2 singers that described themselves as crazy, Patsy Cline and Paul Simon. They both sang about crazy for love. Well, I would be remiss if I didn't mention another person that I knew that was crazy over Patsy Cline. Right, Karen? Okay, very good. Crazy over Patsy Cline. Crazy. There are several people in the Bible that have either been described as crazy or other people have described them as crazy. And how do we describe people as being crazy? Well, to better understand as how we look at this craziness, we'll look at a few people of the Bible that may give us a better understanding or perception of the word crazy. Joanne just read about Paul, one of the most well-known persecutors of Christianity. He had everything going for him. He was a Pharisee, had a great position in the religious community, was well-educated, knowledgeable, and had a great zeal for his religious views. In fact, the Pharisees, who were the reigning social government at that time, gave Paul the task of eliminating Christianity. He accepted the position without hesitation and martyred the first Christian, which was Stephen. But then one day, after a miraculous encounter with Jesus, Paul himself became a Christian. Upon that occurrence, Paul lost his fame, and now he became the hunted. The Pharisees wanted to kill Paul. Paul then gave up everything in order to spread the word of Jesus Christ. He endured many hardships, as Joanne had just read previously. Yet he chose the life of being a Christian for following Jesus Christ. He gave up just about everything. Crazy? Might be. David, a shepherd boy who was anointed by Samuel, God's prophet, to be king of Israel. He accepted, as David knew, that this becoming king was from God. But the problem was that Saul was king at the time, and that Saul, when Saul became aware of the anointing of David, Saul wanted to kill David. So it would be like one of us, a prophet of God, going up to Brandon and say, "You're going to be president. All you have to do is get rid of the president now, and you take over as president." But anyway, he accepted the situation because he knew it was from God. But when David went into battle, he went into battle with Goliath. And we all know the story of David and Goliath. Sounds crazy? He went in to fight a giant with a handful of stones. I guess it's like going to a knife fight with a gun, huh? Going to a gunfight with a knife, yeah. Well, it's probably with our musicians here today to be upset with what they're singing, throw a hymnal at them, and they come up with a beautiful song, right? Thank you so much for the wonderful music. We certainly appreciate it. But Peter, a fisherman who gave up his business to follow Jesus, Jesus called to Peter, "Come, follow me." At once, Peter left his nets and followed Jesus. Crazy? I think Phil, when a couple weeks ago, he alluded to this, that how someone would come up to someone, said, "Follow me. Follow me. And give up everything in front of you." But how would you feel if someone came up to you and said, "Follow me"? How would your family feel if someone came up to you and said, "Follow me"? Well, that could be crazy, right? But one of the ones that really from the Old Testament that sounds crazy was Ezekiel. I remember when the kids learned different hand movements throughout the Bible, Ezekiel was the hand movement like this, because he was crazy. He was crazy for God. He had a vision from God of a valley of dry bones. God then asked Ezekiel if the bones can live. Ezekiel answers, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know," which is a very good answer. Not presumptuous, not denying the power of God, nor giving an answer to please God. But God did bring those bones back to life and made them into living beings. Crazy? Some of these are just a few of the minor oddities, sometimes difficult stories of the Bible that we believe, but so many non-believers think they are bizarre or crazy. These are stories that try our faith as belief in God, even as we read through them. But we know God is behind them. We have God in our heart. Even believers in God's word will attempt to rationalize or twist stories to meet what they want to feel. And we have to be aware of that. We have to stand fast in the foundation of the biblical truths that we know, that these are God's words. So we don't want to be. We don't want to be carried by something like the serpent saying, did God really say that? Did God really say to Ezekiel, could you bring these bones back to life? Yes, 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 God could bring them back to life. In 1 Corinthians, we realize that God chooses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, the weak things to shame the strong. God does these things to embarrass those who consider themselves too wise, too strong, too knowledgeable to believe in such things. People who consider themselves above God, as they are not in the need of what the earth has to offer. Their position of wealth and their position of knowledge is above any God. And why believe in a God that would sacrifice himself and die on a cross? Crazy. But God doesn't choose who's the best in the sight of people. He chooses the ordinary, the pure of heart, the ones that others reject as crazy, and makes them the best. As God's definition of crazy is one who is out of the ordinary, one who does amazing things, one who does supernatural and awesome things for God. And Jesus is at the top of that list. He came to show us God. Jesus, a man born of a Virgin Mary, through the Holy Spirit, accomplished miracles, healed many people, who was considered blasphemous by the Pharisees, who brought people back to life, died himself on a cross, buried for 3 days, and he himself came back to life. Crazy? Maybe to other people, but to Jesus is the perfect example of love for each one of us, as he created each one of us, and he loves each one of us, and he wants the best for each one of us. He cared for people, healing the sick, and he never turned away children, where at that time frame, children were considered almost less than the animals that they had. If you had animals, the hierarchy was the father, and then the sons, and then the animals, and then the daughters, and then the king, the children. If you were a children, you just had to wait for coming in line or something, but the children were always turned away from, and God never turned away from the children. God's love is infinite and endless, and he even forgave the people that killed him on a cross. Really crazy, forgiving the people that killed you. But in some people's eyes, yes, it is crazy. But for us, Jesus gave his life for each and every one of us. And he did it for that crazy little thing called love. 2 Corinthians tells us, if we are crazy, it is for God. If we have our right mind, it is for the world to accept our craziness for God. The love of Christ controls us because we know that one person died for each one of us as he loves each one of us. Amen.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you're sorry. Somebody's sorry.
Let's depart with hymn number 712, Be Still My Soul. Thank you, Cooey, for that message. We all do need to be crazy for the Lord.
Thank you.
love.